This is SB Nation Radio,
the next generation of sports radio.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour featuring Bill Harmon.
Good shot.
It's about time.
It is about time. I mean, I just couldn't get the ball in the hole. I wanted to, but I just couldn't do it.
The Charlie Epps Golf Hour is powered by Insperity with the golf doctor, Charlie Epps. Here's your host, Scott Atkinson.
Welcome, everyone. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation, live from Houston, Texas, featuring my good friend Bill Harmon from California, who loves to talk golf on a Saturday morning. Probably been to Starbucks, got his coffee, highly motivated. We got a lot to talk about, Bill. We got the Farmers. We got last week's event. We've got Tiger. So how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great, and I was at Starbucks at 4:31 this morning. It opens at 4:30, so you're right. I've had a venti coffee, and I got another cup of coffee because I'm home right now, so I'm jacked up and ready to go.
You know, running a business is hard, and we are sponsored by Insperity, a company that really will help everybody handle payroll, their benefits, workers' comp, and government compliances so they can tend to their business and grow it. So I want to encourage everybody, if you want help running your business to grow it, workforce optimization solution. That's what Insperity's known for. So Insperity.com. So, Bill, we got the Farmers, the place where Tiger has won a lot of tournaments. He's making his comeback. One quote that I want to start off with: out of the 40 majors in the next 10 years, I don't think it's unrealistic to think that he, Tiger, can win five of them. Jack Nicklaus. What do you think?
Well, I think Jack has always taken the high road. Almost regardless of what it is about golf, he's always taken the high road when it comes to Tiger, perhaps, you know, surpassing his records. But, you know, I think Phil Mickelson has won five in his career. So five out of 40 is a little more daunting task than one might think, especially for a guy who hasn't won a major in 8 or 9 years. So I think it sounds good, and it sounds good for Jack to say it. If I were a betting man and they put that bet up in Las Vegas, I'm betting that he doesn't do it. So I'll go on record saying he will not win five in the next 40, in all respect to Jack, by the way. What do you think,
Charlie? I agree with you.
He'll win five?
No, I agree with you.
He'll win five tour events?
No. No, I mean, and we're going to discuss that more in detail in this hour a little later. But Justin Rose is 8 under. I mean, I can't see Tiger ever beating Justin Rose in a tournament from now on. How about our man Adam Hardwin? 59 last week. Our predictions, your prediction didn't last very long.
Well, I made that prediction on a Saturday, and Saturday afternoon I was wrong. So my prediction was for the year, not for that tournament. So much about what I think. And I think one of the most fascinating things about his 59 was he did it with all birdies. He made the most birdies in an 18-hole round of golf of anybody that's ever played a PGA Tour event. One of the things I said was, you know, that Thomas's was done on a par 70. This
right.
kid did it on a par 72.
13 birdies.
Have you ever played the Kinta Country Club?
Yes.
I'm telling you, it's a tight course. You got to hit it straight. It's not that much of a gimme. I got news for you.
I mean, you could take and put me putting from where he putted. I'd be lucky to shoot 70. I mean, you know, his putting was just incredible. And then he backs it up this week. He's second place, 7 under, right behind Justin Rose. And our man Snedeker, the defending champion, is right there. And Keegan Bradley, who I've picked to win the PGA this year, is right there. So it's going to be a fun weekend, minus.
Yeah, I think Keegan Bradley is always interesting. I always like to see players that have kind of lost it, and I think he did lose it there for a while. And to watch him come back, and then, as you know, Charlie, the next step is how do they play, because he's redone his swing a couple of times, how do they play when they get in the hunt? And if he doesn't play well, in my view, it does not mean he's not back. It's just part of the process of getting comfortable again. He's got a new teacher in the last couple of years and working on some different stuff. And as you know, sometimes when you put that stuff to the test, sometimes you come through with it, sometimes you don't. But it's, if he doesn't play well on the weekend, I don't think it means that he's not back. It just means that he's well involved in the process and probably on his way back.
I think it's a good lesson. Sometimes you got to leave well enough alone and go the Nicklaus route and the Trevino route, and you know just play your own game, and you don't have to get any better. You're already a major champion, so that's a topic for a different show. The
it's
ladies,
a good topic though.
Yes, it is. The ladies over in Bahamas, the Pure Silk, the LPGA.
But those scores.
How about four Americans on the leaderboard? Is it because nobody else showed up? But Brittany Lincecum, 64, 65, and Lexi, she was thinking about shooting 59. She shoots 61 in the second round. Gina,
well, you know,
Taylor.
I played with Julie Inkster a couple weeks ago, and I told her, she's a Solheim Cup captain, I said, you might not have 12 American players to fill the team.
What'd she say about that?
Forget the 12 best American players. There aren't 12 American players playing the tour almost.
What was her comment about that?
Oh, she laughed. I said, you might have to go to the tour school, and anybody who gets their card say, you're automatically a captain's pick for the Solheim Cup team before you've made a cut out here. So it is good, I think. It's good for the tour. You know, a portion of the great portion of the LPGA Tour is played in America.
Yeah.
It doesn't have a lot of interest anymore, and I think partially because we don't have that great American player, and there's so many wonderful Korean players. And, you know, Charlie, the great thing about golf is it doesn't make any difference where you're from. It's the low score wins. And if the Korean players are playing better than the American players, well, then so be it. My hat's off to them. They're marvelous players. But interesting, I was thinking about this morning with Lexi. You know, Jack and Tiger were the two dominant players of our lifetime, and they had three things going for them. They were both long, they both had incredible minds, and they were both great putters. Lexi is not a great putter. If you watch her putt, it's a struggle, and it's hard to be a dominant player and not be a dominant putter in my mind. She's got the length. I think physically she's probably more gifted than any player out there since Michelle Wee.
Who?
And that's right. And I think that if she were a great putter, but I don't think she looks like a great putter. I think her everything is contrived. It just was a gift that she wasn't given. But on a given day, she certainly can be the best player in the world on that given day.
Yeah, she's really athletic. And having grown up with two brothers you know, she was trying to out-hit her brothers when she was a young girl. So that shows you that learn how to hit it hard and then get better. So, but she's a fine young girl, and I hope, you know, Stacy Lewis, she married the men's golf ladies golf coach here in Houston, and she's out at the golf club of Houston now, and she just had a fundraiser for the team and settling into the community. So we want to see her do well. Because, you know, she's supporting our local golf scene. But going back to the European Tour, and that's over in Qatar. No, I don't know any of the buddy that's leading. But on the flip side, Tiger's going to fly 17 hours to go over and play in Dubai. Then he's got 17 hours coming back to play in L.A. He's going to play four tournaments in 6 weeks or something like that. Is he up to that?
Well, I certainly hope so, and I hope his health holds up. You know, he did some good things yesterday. You know, hopefully he can get the pace of play right where he wants it so he doesn't have to readjust to that. I thought that was a very funny answer after the first round. You know, it wasn't like playing at home in a golf cart by himself at the Medalist where he plays 18 holes in about 12 minutes. Well, no kidding. You know, it wasn't your first PGA Tour event. You know what the pace of play is.
And it was a little cold
some
for him.
Of the things he says, I find are quite interesting, really, to be honest with you.
A little cold. That's Bill Harmon.
How about I just drove it bad? How about that for starters? How about I missed the last nine fairways? Maybe that had something to do with it.
That's Bill Harmon. I'm Charlie Epps. We're live from Houston on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. SB Nation brought to you by Insperity. Stay tuned. We'll be right back talking golf with Bill Harmon and talking about Rory.
This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, with the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, and Bill Harmon. Here's your host, Scott Atkinson.
Welcome back, everybody. On a local, on a national magazine, golf magazine, it says Making Golf Great Again. And one of the articles inside, Bill, the four top 40 top influential people in the game, and it's got a picture of Eric Anderson, who started Topgolf. Now, all the local bars over the years have, you know, they have shuffleboard, they got volleyball. Did having outdoor volleyball improve the game? And what I mean by that is Topgolf, which is a bar with a driving range on one side of it, going to help the game of golf that we know?
I say yes. And I've never been to a Topgolf. I've followed it a little bit on some Facebook, some people. You know, David Ogren works at a Topgolf place in San Antonio, I believe.
Yes.
I know people that have been there. And this is where I think it'll grow the game. I think one of the big problems in golf is slow play. And as the game exploded there a while back, we had a lot of people playing the game that didn't know the etiquette. And as Jackie Burke said, if you don't know how to sail, you're going to ruin sailing for the sailors. So if you don't know the etiquette, you start ruining the game for the golfers. Well, Topgolf, in my view anyway, allows people to hit balls, to play some games there that they have. They have fun. They can eat, they can drink, and what it does is it keeps the non-golfer off the golf course until, and I'm sure some of those people are going to get the bug and want to play, so I think Topgolf fills a tremendous vacuum and void in the game of golf, and then the people that want to take that experience and then learn how to play and go to a real golf course, I think we'll probably have a little bit more idea of what's going on rather than just go to a golf course driving range, get a bucket of balls, never played before, go to the first tee, don't know the rules, don't know the etiquette, don't know about fast play. And, you know, the art of letting a group through, Charlie, is gone. And so I think what has really ruined the game is the expense of the game and slow play. And so I think Topgolf provides a tremendous alternative for people. So I think it's very interesting. I've never experienced it. I'd like to, and I will someday. But I'm kind of a supporter of it. Where do you stand on it?
Well, maybe the fifth major is going to be the Topgolf Open. You know, I've been there, and it's a different experience. Me being, I guess, a traditional golfer, I say, okay, this is okay, but I don't go back. I don't go there to play
because
golf.
You're a real golfer.
Yeah.
But for the people that aren't real golfers, maybe it's a lot of fun for them.
Yeah, and it could be. I don't know where it's going to lead us, and I hope it does. You know, I hope we get some golfers out of it. But then the etiquette that they're being taught in a bar is completely different than on a golf course. I mean, you got.
I agree with that, but at least they're keeping those people away from the group in front of me. You know, and playing 6 hours to play and not caring about replacing divots or doing whatever. So I think it has a place, but I kind of go back to Jackie Burke's, you know, if you didn't know how to sail, would you join a yacht club, you know?
Yeah, and, you know,
and so.
This week we've heard some different comments from Tiger, which you know he's changing, and you know you do change at times, and whether it be you know signing more autographs for the kids after the round, which you know a lot of times he never did, and he's more congenial on the press conferences, and he's not as as sharp, you know, with his answers. But his comment about slow play bothering him, and also about it was too cold. You know, how many times has he won at San Diego? I mean, he knew it was going to be cold. So,
well, yeah, I don't know. I sometimes wonder about those comments because they just seem like anybody who has any knowledge about the game or kind of look at it with a cast a wary eye on that comment. But, you know, I got to be honest with you. I think it's great to have him back playing. You know, you and I are hosting a radio show, and let's face it, our show is better when Tiger's playing because, you know, we get to talk about Tiger. He's, you know, and I talked to you off air about this. Yeah. You know, Justin and Jason Day were supposed to be the new sheriffs in town, and so they had a chance to show the old sheriff what they had, and they didn't show him very much. And I wonder if they were intimidated playing with Tiger, subconsciously maybe. Maybe trying to do too much, but I got to believe after those 2 days, Tiger probably said to himself, you know what, these guys aren't that much better than I am right now.
How about all three?
I'm not that far off from beating them. I think that those two had quite an opportunity to show Tiger what the new game is like, and they kind of missed the opportunity, in my opinion.
All three of them missed the cut.
That's right, but Tiger had to be thinking, these guys aren't that good. Look at, you know, they're sure they can outdrive me, but look at the way they play. They don't have anything on me. So I think Tiger came away from that saying, I'm a little bit closer to these guys than they think I am because I just saw what they got, and they didn't show me a lot.
No, they sure didn't. I mean, the whole group was like 25 over par. At one time, they made 27 bogeys and a double.
Well, I just think that they had an opportunity to kind of show Tiger what, you know, I said to you, when Tiger played with Jack at Valhalla years ago, sure, Jack was past his prime, but Tiger put a little 132 on him, like saying to Jack, this is what it's like now, pal, and I'm the new sheriff. But I think that these two guys, I think they inspired Tiger by showing Tiger that they are not that dominant and they are not that good because I just played with them and they didn't show me anything.
You see, Jack.
I think they had a chance to do something, and I think they missed the opportunity.
I agree with you, but remember Jack's third shot, almost making eagle to make the cut.
To make the cut, he lifted out with a wedge, and Tiger was aware of that, and Tiger said something about how great that was.
He turned his head and said, "Hey, this guy is something else." But
you bet. You know, I was very intrigued by how poorly they both played in front of Tiger.
You know how hard travel is. I mean, he's got 34 hours of airplane ride. How's that going to do for that back?
Yeah, I think it's I love the fact that he's playing. I love the fact he's going to be in L.A. I love having him back, to be honest with you. I hope he stays healthy. I thought his swing looked quite wooden. He looked like he was swinging like a guy with a bad back, and he's trying to figure out a new way to get it done.
Yep.
And maybe this might help him, you know, because he might have to come up with a swing that is just one that he can get it done with and not be so profound and better than everybody else's and the greatest swing of all time and the most scientific of all time and stuff. And maybe he can get back to just being more creative and playing golf with what he's got. So I'm happy to have him back, to be honest with you.
The one comment I liked is he said, Joe, my caddy's got to get used to my type of golf. He hasn't seen this from me.
He said they're both learning.
But he's going to buy, it sounds like, and next segment we're going to talk a little about TaylorMade and his decision to go that way, and maybe he might become a club owner. So, but this is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour featuring Bill Harmon live from Houston, Texas, brought to you by Insperity, a company that will really help you run your company. Call them. Log on to Insperity.com. This is Charlie Epps live from SBNation.com. See you next time.
This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, with the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, and Bill Harmon. Here's your host, Scott Atkinson.
Welcome back, everybody. Talking golf with Bill Harmon from Houston. Looking back from last week, Bill, it was a shame that the Champions Tour event was only two rounds of golf because of wind, huh? How about that day?
You know, I think one of the interesting things about that, Charlie, is I was talking to Jay Haas, and one of the reasons they had to cancel it is they didn't have the hotel reservations that these guys could stay. I guess it's a very, very high-class resort, and they needed them out of there on Sunday. And there was no place for them to stay if they went over to Monday. So actually, the accommodations and the travel greatly influenced their decision to call it on Sunday and not let it go to Monday because all the players had to check out of the hotel. Pretty interesting, huh?
You hear it on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Bill Harmon is in the know. That is quite a statistic. But I guess it's fair for one, it's fair for everybody, I guess. Move on. Champions Tour is more of a relaxed tour than the regular tour. They could never do that on the regular tour, right?
I wouldn't think so, but, you know, evidently this is a very, very high-end resort, and there's not a lot of places to stay that close by, so
yeah.
I just think it was interesting that the travel and the accommodations actually went into the decision to cancel play.
Well, another gentleman that's made some news, mainly, sure, he's a great golfer, he won the amateur and all that, but Bryson DeChambeau has come out with a new putting stroke. At a young age, he's gone to side saddle. And remember the side saddle stroke of Sam Snead at the age of 66. He shot 66 in a tour event. And, you know, he was quite the player. And he originally started putting where he croquet style, and the USGA banned that. And then he went side saddle, and I think he had a putter that was probably at 90 degrees, and it has to have some shaft lean at 80 degrees. But the side saddle system that Bryson has shown had some anchoring elements, and the USGA, you know, banned the one putter he was doing, so he had to come out with another one. Where's this going to lead? Have you heard anything about that, Bill?
No, I don't really know. I find him to be a very intriguing character. I don't know him. I know that you do, and you say he's a wonderful young man. But you wonder at what point in time does his quest for perfection get in the way for what his real job is, and that's to shoot low scores. Because, you know, when he came out with all the irons are the same length, and he's got this perfect one plane swing and all of this stuff, and he played pretty good in the Open and the Masters as an amateur, you know, and he immediately kind of got on our radar. You know, this guy's going to have the perfect swing and all this stuff and all the science involved, which, by the way, is fine. But what we always forget is golf is played by human beings, and I think it's Rotella who said it's a mistake-prone game played by a flawed species trying to do it perfectly. And that's the recipe for insanity. So, you know, I don't think he's really lived up to his potential, or not his potential, or the hype maybe at the moment. Doesn't mean he won't. Doesn't mean that I don't think he will. But I wonder if all this tinkering and all this stuff gets in the way of what his real job is to shoot a lot of 33s and 4s. Because at the end of the day, that's what the tour player's job is, to shoot 66, 70. 67, 68s, and 69s, and they'll have a great life. If they shoot a lot of 70, 71s, and 2s, they won't have a job. So hopefully he doesn't get off the beaten path here and realizes that at the end of the day, nobody really cares about this stuff other than him.
I'm going to do like the television stations do in Europe in the morning shows, they bring out the local newspaper and they say, well, this is what this newspaper's saying. Our magazine, the Golf Week magazine, comes to us every week. It has a lot of great stories in it. It's been taken over by some new people, and they're doing a good job. I like it. But there's a couple questions, Bill, I'm going to ask you. They have a section in here called Burning Questions. And one of the questions is, can Jordan Spieth recapture his 2015 form?
Well, I don't know about that. I think that Jordan Spieth is a great player already. That would be like to me asking, can Barry Bonds hit 74 home runs a year after he hit 73? You know, there's a reason that his performance in those majors was maybe the top three of all time, because it's real hard to do. So I think that Jordan Spieth's arrow is pointing straight up. I will never compare him to just those four majors that he played in 2015. I'll put those up there as one of the great accomplishments in the history of the game. And I'm a big Jordan Spieth fan, and I think he's a great player, and I think he will continue to do great things. Whether he ever plays a major season like that again, I don't think so, but he certainly has a long time to prove me wrong.
The PGA and the LPGA, they're talking about maybe joining forces and the women playing with the men at the Tournament of Champions and so on and so forth. They're trying to tweak their product. Here's a question for you. This year, the Zurich Open Classic played in New Orleans is going to be a partnership event. Two men playing a better ball. Do you think this will lead to other format changes, or is this just going to be a one-time deal?
Well, I like the idea of a format change personally, and I would love for the women and the men to play in the same Tournament of Champions. You know, years ago they did have a mixed team event, as you know, Charlie. So I don't have a problem with if you put the men and the women. You know, when they played the Open back-to-back at Pinehurst, the Ladies Open was very successful. So I don't have a problem with experimenting. You know, the Stableford system at Castle Pines had a nice run for quite a few years. But as always, you know, when the tournament was scheduled and things like that, there was conflicts there. It was right after the PGA or before the PGA or something. But I kind of like the new format at the Zurich. I think every once or twice a year, I think it's a good thing. Is it going to draw the top players? I think that's always the big question, and usually the answer is no.
Well, the last partnership event on the PGA Tour, I finished second in. Excuse me. Blaine McAllister and I in the team event.
That's right.
On television. I made the shot of the
and
day.
Dick and Steve Elkington played good one year.
That's right. That was the same year.
I know.
And Dick says,
Wellington, Florida somewhere.
That's right. Dick said, what are you going to do over there and play? I said, Dick, come on over and have fun for you. So he went over there and he had a blast. He played pretty good. Dick and I played pretty good when we had good partners.
You sure did.
Okay, we're going to break here in a couple minutes, though, Bill. Here's something I want you to contemplate. Henrik Stenson, what's he going to do this year? And will Lydia Ko stay on top? Or what's going to happen to her career? And she's made a lot of changes here with new coach and new clubs and, you know, change sometimes leads to complications, right?
It could, yes. And she changed teachers, and that could. But I think Lydia Ko is she's too good. She's too talented. She's got a great nervous system. Whether she stays on top, I think she'll stay in the top two or three for probably the remainder of her career. That's how much I think of her. So whether she's on top at the end of the year, if you're in the top 10 in the world, you're pretty damn good. So I don't really criticize people that lose their number one ranking and go to number two. I think it's very fluid. You're obviously one of the great players in the world, and that's good enough for me.
That's Bill Harmon. We're going to come back for one more segment. Stay tuned. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, live from Houston, Texas.
This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, with the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, and Bill Harmon. Here's your host, Scott Atkinson.
The mic is hot. I've had a great show with my friend Bill Harmon. We're going to change sports. Last week, Bill, we were 50-50. You picked the Patriots over the Steelers, I believe.
I did, yes. And I picked the Packers.
So did I. So, the Super Bowl is coming to Houston, Texas. It's very exciting. Everything is really preparing. The city's done a wonderful job for this big event.
Are you going, Charlie?
You know, I'm going right to my man cave. You know, if I had a $3,000 ticket, I would sell it. I just can't imagine paying that much money to go sit with 80,000 people when I've got a refrigerator and a perfect chair and man cave to watch this game.
I gotcha.
So, having said that, you know, how you seeing this game?
I'm betting on the Patriots, but I'm rooting for the Falcons.
Which is, why is that?
Well, I don't bet with my heart. So it's hard for me to bet against Belichick and Brady in 2 weeks for them to prepare and their experience in the Super Bowl. I do think the fact that the Falcons coach has been involved in a few Super Bowls here with the Seahawks in the last few years is very, very to their advantage. And one of them was played against the Patriots, and they could have beaten the Patriots if that defensive back hadn't made one of the greatest plays of all time. And so I think that's a plus. But I'm a little leery of the bet because the Falcons are the proverbial hot at the right time team right now. So they look awfully good. I think it's going to be a heck of a game. I just have a hard time betting against Belichick and Brady with 2 weeks to prepare. But if the Falcons win, I'll be very happy for them.
Well,
I'm not a Patriot hater, though, by any chance.
Let me ask you, who's got the best defense?
I think the Patriots do.
Do you really?
I do, yeah.
Huh. I would think.
Well, I think they're both great. I think it should be a great team. A great game. The Patriots, I think, have given up the least amount of points all year. So that's usually a pretty good stat.
Okay. Now, you're a Giants fan.
Yes.
Giants beat the Patriots.
They sure did.
So now
they beat them. They beat them with a good defense.
Yep.
And a little ball control. So if they can. They always say the way to beat Brady is pressure up the middle.
Yeah.
And evidently the Falcons have a lot of speed on their team, and speed is a great attribute when you're playing the Patriots, boy.
You know, and once you get to this, you know, it's sport is such a game of emotions and all that, but I'm going to give the odd. The quarterback is for the Ryan is really looking pretty good. I mean, he's going to be MVP of the league this year.
Well, once again, he hasn't done it in a big game yet. I'm not saying he won't. I'm a Ryan fan. I'm a Falcon fan. I like him. I'm going back to Jack and Tiger against Jason Day and Dustin Johnson until proven otherwise. How's that sound?
What's the spread?
3.
Who's going to win the coin flip?
Well, there you go. Now we got action, and whoever wins it, what are they going to do? Decide to receive or kick off? Because the Patriots last week received after winning the coin flip, and they traditionally don't do that. So you never know about Belichick and Brady, boy. I'll tell you.
Yeah, Belichick is really 17 years up there. I mean, he's really proven a lot that he can relate to these professional football players. So it's going to
be. I also think that I think he's a little bit like Lombardi. They have to relate to him. It's not a matter of him relating to them. It was like the first Super Bowl, Lombardi had the two bonus babies, Jim Grabowski and Donnie Anderson. And the reporter asked Lombardi, how do you relate to these young players and how do you deal with them? He said, I don't deal with them. They deal with me. I'm the coach. They do it. And I think that's what happens with the Patriots. You do it Belichick's way, you're gone.
I don't think
it's about relating to them.
Who are the top three all-time coaches?
Belichick, Chuck Knoll, Vince Lombardi.
Chuck Knoll, boy, he was a player's coach, wasn't he?
Underrated. No, he was not. Terry Bradshaw said he never told him good game one time.
But the players loved him, though.
Yeah, because he got the best out of them, because he wasn't an enabler.
You think Butch is that way?
Bradshaw didn't like him, though. I mean, there was NFL Network did a great show on Chuck Knoll, and Bradshaw couldn't hardly say a good thing about him, other than that they won. But there were other players that said their life changed dramatically because of what Chuck Knoll taught them. A guy asked Jay Haas the other day if he'd ever played with Sam Snead. He said, yeah, I played with him 10 times. He says, what was it like? He said, well, let's just say he didn't put his arm around me and said, let me take you under my wing, kid.
Hogan.
And Jay said, what I learned from that is I've got to take care of my own business. So in a way, Sam taught me a great lesson that I was on my own. And I had to figure it out on my own.
Is that why Butch is so
good? And I
wasn't
going to help you.
Is that why Butch is so good at what he does?
I think it has a lot to do with it.
Think you learned that?
I personally do think it has a lot to do with it. You got to make your players accountable, Charlie.
He was a little stubborn as a young kid, wasn't he?
And with a stubborn father, it was quite a mixture. Of course, unfortunately, I was stubborn just like Butch. So there was some.
Well, that is Bill Hartman, and he is in California. Bill, I thank you for a great show, all your wisdom. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity. We're going to see you all next week. Stay tuned, everybody.